Welcome to Phone Sex with Lily Show, where talent in front and behind the camera is showcased and explored. As you can imagine, there are a lot of characters and personalities in this industry. Listen as they share their stories. But first, grab your lube and get comfortable because the guests will unknowingly be subjected to phone sex with a porn star, webcam model, and your host, Lily Craven.
How are you today?
Oh, just fine. Beautiful. How are you?
Good. I heard you were writing a story.
Yes, actually. I'm writing some scenes for Blush Erotica, and one of them starred the beautiful hostess of this program.
Ooh.
And I was surprised and excited to see you, and it really inspired me, not just my writing, but other feelings as well.
Oh, really? What kind of feelings did it bring up in you? Because that was a hot scene.
Yes, it was you and Milan, your scene partner, the handsome young man.
Yes.
You were a perfect couple. You were so beautiful and so free with each other. And I love it how he explored your beautiful body. And, you know, I could tell that you were enjoying it.
I was.
That made me enjoy it. It really turned me on.
What did it do to you? What does it make you feel like when you were watching me and Milan fucking?
Oh, well, let's just say it was difficult to keep my fingers on the keyboard.
Oh, so it made you nice and wet.
Yes, it did. Oh. Soaking wet, Lily.
Oh, yeah. My goodness. Well, that's good to know because he made me very wet. He is quite the peach, isn't he?
Yeah.
Woo, he was candy. Yes. You know, after the scene, we ended up fucking again after everybody left because he was
hot. Yes. Well, I could tell the chemistry
was
just off the charts.
Yes.
And that's what I love about my job. I mean, how many people can just sit around and watch beautiful people fucking and getting off? And it's just, I have quite the career.
Ooh, yes, you do. This is Lily Craven, and you're listening to Phone Sex with Lily. And go ahead and introduce yourself. What kind of job do you have that you get to sit there and watch porn and play with yourself?
Yes. Well, I am, I should just change my name to Incredibly Lucky Woman, shouldn't I?
Right.
Yes, but my name is Megan Pessy, and I'm an adult industry writer. I am the feminist sexpert at sexpert.com, and I'm also a USA Today best-selling erotica author with about 30 books on Amazon.
Incredible.
And also, I am a scriptwriter in the adult industry.
And you wrote recently, which we were discussing during our little phone sex, was for blusherotica.com. And it was a scene with me and Milan in Miami, and we had a blast, as you could tell.
I could tell. Yes, I loved it.
Yes, it was quite the scene. I was like, woo, this guy is hot.
Yes, he is.
And it's nice to have, I mean, I'm not saying anybody else isn't hot, but it's nice to have, like, really an eye candy young man.
Yes, you know, because with my formula is that I love to interview female directors and content creators.
Yes.
Even if they, you know, they don't have to be like with a major porn studio, even if they just direct their own content and if they're creators. But I also like to profile some of the hottest guys, you know, in the industry.
Yes. Yes.
Totally, you know, because I want the women to have their eye candy and I want the ladies out there to know who to look for. And so Milan would definitely be
Was great. He was so professional. He has an eye for, you know, the filming, and he just was he went in there and he owned it. And he took over. So and, you know, we had said we had a storyline and all that. And as you noticed, that went out the door. We just gonzoed it from then on. And I was like, this guy is like incredible. Like, he belongs in the industry. And he's only been in the United States for 6 months.
Oh, wow.
He came here to do adult filming, and it is insane how he's literally like born for it. He's perfect.
Absolutely.
Ooh, that was a memorable one. So yeah, he definitely brought out, I would say, for the rest of my trip, I tend to be a very reserved person when it comes to filming. And I have this brick wall, a very thick brick wall up, and I don't know why. I don't have any history of anything that makes it, you know, a reason why I have a brick wall. So I sort of put it to like society or something, the way your belief system is why it's built up like that. And, yes. And I think that when I was with Milan and shot that scene, then from there, I did like two or three other scenes throughout that week that I would have never imagined myself doing. And it was great.
It really opened me up to bring out, you know, the desire and, oh yes, that's wonderful.
Yeah. It was really interesting. So you take an interesting, well, your view on it is let's bring the men forward. Let's let the women be sexually satisfied.
Yes.
And this isn't about the man being visually, you know, with a porn, typical porn, it's geared towards the man as the viewer.
Yes. Yes, because in my erotica writing, you know, generally, because I started out just as a writer, and I've been an erotica writer since college, and what I always aimed for was, I called it the BOP formula, which is beefcake on paper, which meant, you know, that the man was always young and gorgeous, and, you know, I just went to great pains to just talk about his rippling abs and his pecs and his hair and just model beautiful. And, you know, the heroines, I mean, you know, they're beautiful, but they're a variety. They're not, not all 21 years old and super skinny. And, you know, they're real women. They're real women who want their pleasure. And so I was just thinking, I mean, that's fairly well represented in the literary erotica. We need to get it more into the visual end.
Which is why I like Blush Erotica so much, because when I saw what they were doing, it immediately clicked with me, because I don't watch porn. Mm-hmm. And it's not that I'm against it per se, but I have definitely two different sides, you know, two different views to it, which is, one is, I understand why Facebook and everything are censoring it, because they don't want to have it on there. Like, go find somewhere else to do this. I don't want my children viewing it like that, especially to the raunchy level that it can get at. And so I think a lot of that, I think it does do something to our brains, and not necessarily always a positive thing. And, you know, more on the negative side, I think it has affected our society overall.
Yeah. But, yes, and you know, it's something that we can't deny, and I actually left the industry for several years, because I got in the early 2000s, and I was working for Playgirl exclusively. And, you know, because it was funny, I had been a Playgirl reader since college. And so I'm on the internet one day, just minding my own, and I see a reference to Playgirl TV. And I'm like, finally. I mean, how long have we had Playboy TV? They're just finally just getting around to having Playgirl TV.
Yes, and how did it turn out?
yes. And so I looked up a marketing website, and there was a wonderful lady named Hedda Eisenberg who answered my email. And she was like, wow, you seem really enthusiastic about this. Yes. And I'm like, yeah, thank you.
Yeah, no kidding. You're like, I'm dripping wet over here.
Yeah, so seriously, well, I just started out as a fan, not even a porn particularly, just a playgirl, the idea of playgirl. And so they brought me on, and I was the head of the Playgirl Posse fan club,
Incredible.
which I wish I had known you then. You would have been a perfect member.
Oh, yes.
Yes, and I was writing erotica for Playgirl.com, and I was writing a back cover copy for some of the DVDs, writing marketing copy. I had a column in Playgirl magazine for a while.
Incredible.
And, but after Playgirl shut down, I did some writing for Good Vibrations. I had my own erotic magazine for a while. But I just sometimes I would visit adult sites and I would just get sick at what I
Yes.
saw. The roughness, the
Yes.
violence, making women look like little girls. Just I ended up just getting sickened and angry. And I thought, I mean, yes, I'm a free speech feminist, but I'm still a feminist.
Yes,
How
I
can
understand.
I be in an industry that is just, saturated with that? And so I took a good long break and I really focused on my writing. But then I started to hear about companies. I mean, I was still writing for Scandalous Women, which is a great women's adult magazine. It's now called Femplicit, and I'm still writing
Nice.
for them. And, I was writing for different places, and I just began to see that there were some companies. Like some of the ones that I, some of the directors in terms of like Petra Joy and Jennifer Lyon Bell, and sh it's spelled SSHH.com, but it
Yes.
should. And yes, the brilliant Angie Roundtree, I'm writing for them now as well. And, and Blush Erotica and Afterglow and Belicia, which I haven't written for yet, but I have written about in my column. And it just I saw some hope, and I
Yes.
something I could work with. And I thought, if I can come back into this industry, if I can help the women who need help, because I think
Yes.
there's them, it's like, yes, I'm back in the industry, but I tell you, with you and I both, we're going to be tough about
Yes.
it.
Now, do you think, but now, see, I'm kind of on the, I go back and forth. So, yes, I know I'm talking out of two sides of my face when it comes to this topic, but, the women, there's women in the industry that I know that absolutely like the submissive rough role. They love it. Like genuinely, they made me believe that they absolutely love it. If someone is loving it that much, because if that's not a role you can really take on if you don't like, you know? It, well, in my opinion, but I would, yeah, because I'm like, I
Yeah, yes. I mean,
ugh.
if someone is into that, I mean, I know that we all have little things. It's like my friend, her name's Lily too, Lily Sparks at
Oh, nice.
Afterglow, the CEO. She keeps reminding me, she says, don't yuck somebody else's yum.
Yes,
Like if
yes.
somebody's really into it, don't say, oh God, and
Exactly.
I try to keep that in mind because I myself have been slut shamed. I mean, I myself have been told that, gosh, what is a nice person like you doing in the porn industry? I have to,
Oh, yes.
what if, and
Heard that one.
especially considering the fact that I am not a monogamous person. I'm a pansexual person,
Okay.
very proudly. And so, yeah, there are a lot of things that I've been slut shamed for. So you're right. I mean, if somebody really wants to do something, you don't want to condemn them for it.
Yes.
I just think if somebody has a problem on a set, they should have a place to go, to
Oh,
talk
very
to.
much so. Very much so. And that's, I think, I had one customer early on in the beginning, webcamming, that got me on camera to do a private. And then I'm looking, and he has girls vomiting in each other's mouths. And I'm like so mortified by this. I'm literally in tears. Okay. So I'm crying. And I'm like, you can't do that to these people. You can't torture them. And I blocked him and everything. And then he found me again and again. And of course, he was persistent. But once, now I have to tell you, I talked to him almost every single day for the last two or three years. And these girls love to do this. They love it. They call him to do it. And I'm like, what is going on? But it opened my I'm judgment. I realized I'm a very judgmental person. If it's two consenting people, and this wasn't even about money, they were doing it without money. And I'm like, what is there? Cause they like to please. So that's what they were doing. And it was like, this is the most disgusting thing I've ever seen.
It was horrible. You know, and, it also seems to, because I think because I'm a lover of women and admirer, of women, you know, that I sometimes my perspective is, if someone like you is up there on screen, why would you want to slap that beautiful face? Why would you want to pull that beautiful hair?
Yes, I would punch him right in the dick.
I have kind of a worshipful, you know, view of women, and you know, so
I used to say, you know, if someone's being slapped and they get a hard on from that, from like hitting someone. I'm like, isn't there something like not right with that? but then of course I've met these people who are genuinely into it. I know someone else that basically you need to like give her a good, you know, beat. I don't want to say beating, but a smackdown. And she loves it. She loves it on film, and it's like something she craves. And so,
yeah, well, you know, also I understand because I know that I used to do some supplying of Playgirl DVDs, which you would never see that on a Playgirl DVD,
yeah.
You know, but when I would go to a certain store and there was a man who was a dom who was working at the store. He was the nicest guy you'd ever want to meet. And he told me about a time that there was a lady, he went to the club that he likes to go to for that. And there was a young lady who was in obvious pain and something had been done to her against her will. The person ignored, or he's not a person, he's a scumbag, ignored her safe words and ignored her pleas to stop. And so he tracked the guy down and he beat the crap out of him. You know, and
good. Cause that's never okay. That is not even in the parameters of okay. Yeah. Well, we're going to take a break, and we're going to listen to your first favorite song, which was Fire Woman by The Cult. Why did you pick this song?
That is my theme song, and it always has been. And I remember I loved it when I first heard it. And then there were people like friends and people I dated and everything that I had a girlfriend who actually put it for her ringtone so that whenever I called, there'd be da 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 da.
I could see why.
And I actually got into a fender bender, unfortunately, listening to it on the radio.
Oh, no. Okay, you're taking a little too far. Well, this is The Fire Woman. This is The Fire Woman by The Cult, and we are talking with The Fire Woman, Megan Hussey.
Yes.
And this is Lily Craven on Phone Sex with Lily. Hi, you're listening to Phone Sex with Lily, and I'm here talking today to the one, the only, Megan Hussey. Hello.
Hi, Lily.
Hello. So we were discussing about, you know, different fetishes that people like and in the way it, you know, as far as the women looking, oh, what's the right word? Okay, so I am always trying to avoid being humiliated or looking less than, and I play a very dominant role on camera, although I'm not so dominant in real life or in, you know, in the bedroom whenever I've gotten it. It's been a long time, but but it's definitely a flip role that I don't want to be perceived as someone who is submissive. Mm-hmm. You know, in a way that I think that's held me back tremendously, because maybe that's my brick wall that you want to let that down, but you just can't, because I think you have a fear of, like, you would be treated differently or walked all over, and I already am, so why add to it?
Well, yes, and I think it's especially hard for a strong woman, you know, because I know that there was a man that I was involved with briefly, and, you know, he was very dominant, and he wanted to try a few things, and the way that I said, it was the worst 10 minutes of my life, because that's as long as it lasted. I was just like, look, I mean, I want to make you happy and everything, but this is not me. This is not for me. I've never been submissive, and I don't even have a desire to be. I mean, if anything, I think I have to hold myself back a little bit from being dominant, like when it comes to men.
I can imagine. Yes, you probably take the whole cake.
And a lot of guys actually like that, you know, they happen to like it, and you know, but I mean, they have an Amazon in bed and they like it, you know, and and again, that's just the fire woman. It's just in my nature to be that way.
Even as far as performing like oral sex on a man, I always saw that as very submissive, and I was thinking, wow, if I'm going to do porn, do I have to actually, like, do blowjobs and stuff? And now I'm realizing, once you do dive into it, like, it can be a very dominant role.
Oh, yes. Very. Yes, 'cause you hold his pleasure in your mouth.
You do.
And so, yes, it can. And, you know, it's funny, actually, in a good deal of my written erotica and in some of my scripts, I don't have the woman go down on the man. I have him go down on her.
Oh, nice.
You know, excessively, you know, because I just feel like when you look at the origin of the term, you know, money shot in porn, I mean, it's all about, it seems like that's for so long, the goal has been to show him getting off. The money shot, the male ejaculation.
And not the woman.
And so in mine, the money shot, I call it the honey shot. It's the woman getting off. You know, it's her orgasm is the most important.
And that does matter to men. I mean, men that I've been with will literally say, getting you off gets me off, but yet it's not featured in video, you know, in porn so much. Good point.
Yes.
I think that would change a lot of, I don't know, the percent. I think if we do gear, I mean, there's always going to be the raunchy porn. Like, you can't get rid of it. And people do like it. So, but if you kind of gear into more, is it respectable porn or more realistic? Yeah. How about realistic?
Uh-huh.
That this could actually take place in the, because you know the men who's watched porn. You're like, oh no, you learned that on a porno. You know, don't go when you're blowing me. Like, when you're beating me out.
Like Mr. Ed.
please. Like, that is not what you do. You watched way too much porn.
Yes. Yes, and you know, when I look at, and that's why I think is the importance of, you know, of course, the one who started it all was Candida Royale with Femme Productions,
nice.
And she's no longer with us, tragically, you know, but she really started the type of porn where there was more of a storyline, there was more romance, and there was more attention paid to the pleasure of the woman, and the orgasms were genuine. And so, you know, it's, and then I think it kind of evolved, you know, from there. And also, my friend, Ms. Naughty, you know, she has her Bright Desire productions that are beautiful. And, you know, so actually, I'm in the process of putting together like a movie guide or a directory talking about some of the studios and titles.
That's nice.
Because I just, I think it's very important because I think that there's still, I know I was in an adult store. I was dropping off some DVDs for a company I worked for, and there was a couple. And I tell you, the woman, it broke my heart. She looked like she was about to cry. She didn't want to be there, and her husband was making fun of her. And he looked at me, and he said, well, she don't appreciate the classics. And I said, well, you know, listen.
Face
maybe
down, ass
idea.
Up. No. It's not the classic. No.
No, you have to understand that her idea of the classics might not be, you know, Ball Best and Sorority Babes or, you know, or the Babysitter's Hooker or whatever. I said, why don't you, and yeah, exactly. I said, you know, why don't you let me take her to another section and show her some things that she might like, you know? And it's just important because, you know, guys are kind of shooting themselves in the foot.
They
the
are.
Foot, the parts, you know?
They are. Like, they truly are. Because I believe I quit like or I didn't like porn anymore because I was in a relationship where he was watching some just horrible stuff and it was constant. It was definitely an addiction. But it was the extreme and the raunchiness and I just could not stand it anymore. I would throw away his CD DVDs. I would do everything I could to get it out of my house. And it's like, then he expected me to like reenact this.
Oh,
yeah, and it wasn't going to happen. It's just not very realistic. So I think that's what turned me away from it. And I saw the change in him, his personality, you know, even dating now, I'm a very monogamous person, actually. So I don't date. And if I were to, and they would be okay with what I did, I believe that I would have a problem with that. Like, I believe that there's a personality and a character that comes along with it, but that's not necessarily true for everyone. And I don't want to date someone in the industry because they're not monogamous. And then it's just, so I just don't do it. But it's very flip side all the way around.
Yes, and I actually, a long time ago, and I'd rather not say his name, but I actually did date somebody in the industry, and he actually left me for one of his scene partners. You know,
But see, yeah, and well, more than that, I just, now I also do see, which is new, I've attended some swingers events, and I went with Coral and Jewel in Miami. We had a blast. Yes. I let loose. I had some fun. And that made me realize that all these couples are here, but they're doing an activity together.
Yeah.
Like they're playing together, but that's not the intimacy and the sex that they would have alone. And it was just playing. It was almost like going to play soccer together, but you're playing with different kind of balls. So, so that's where I was like, oh, okay, this like is making sense to me. It's not about cheating or sharing your wife with, like, it was just about an activity that they were doing together.
Yeah.
And it was fun.
Yes. And I, because I know there's a fair amount of that, you know, down here, you know, in Florida as well. And, you know, about the, and, yeah, and I think it's funny too. I wrote a column for Sexpert about the hot wife phenomenon.
Yes.
And I wrote about, it was so funny.
They were
because
good looking people in Miami.
No. had asked me to do a script and a cheating wife script. And so I'm thinking, Wow.
I love
this
them.
is going I'm going to write, you know, like the next Unfaithful, except without the murder and the bashing on the head with the snow globe.
Yes, yes, yes. You know, without not burning the boiling the bunny. No.
You know, I'm going to write the next Unfaithful. I'm going to write, you know, just when you think of some of the, like, you know, well, you know, Bridges of Madison County, of all things, was a cheating wife, you know, story. And so I'm, you know, I just bring my heart out writing this erotic, passionate script about a wife who finds sexual freedom with another man and he brings her pleasure. And so I get this call and it's like, no, 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 dear. You know, it's like the hot wife movies are for men, not women. And I'm like, what? Wait a minute. These guys want to see their wife with other guys? And, you know, they're sitting there thinking, oh, yeah, she's breaking her marriage vows with somebody half my age.
No, that's not the case.
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
You know? And so I didn't get it either. I was just like, okay.
Yes, I've done those roles. Now I'm going to take your second break, and you picked another song. It was called You'll See by Madonna.
Mm-hmm.
And why did you pick that song?
Because, you know, when I first, when I had my first full-time journalism job, I was in a really miserable place, and I was just, I was in there with, some people were good, some were bad, but they were always putting me down and taking, you know, trying to just be really rude to me, awful to me. And I got a work review that was just withering. I mean, it's like, I don't cry easily, but it just brought me to tears, and it still hurts to think of some of the things they said. So I went home, and first of all, I talked to my parents, who were just, you know, so supportive and such an inspiration. And they were angry too. And then I kept crying. And then I turned on the radio and I heard You'll See by Madonna. And at that point, I just felt this, I stopped crying. I felt the surge of strength. And I thought, you know, I can't let these people affect me this way. And I thought, right now, I'm just a little lackey reporter that they don't respect and that they think is a dumb blonde or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I said, but I'm going to go out there and be somebody in the world. And girl, I did.
Yes, you did. Well, what a great story. Thank you for sharing that. So this is You'll See by Madonna. And when we come back, I'm going to ask you a question about monogamy in the world. Do you think that we are creatures that can actually be monogamous or should be, or are we just fighting it to conform to what society has told us to do? So we'll get to that when we get back. This is Lily Craven, Phone Sex with Lily.
You think that I can live without your love? You'll see. You think I can go on another day? You think I have nothing without you? You'll see, somehow, some way. You think that I can never laugh again? You'll see. You think that you've destroyed my faith in love. You'll see somehow, someday. You think that you are strong, but you are weak. You'll see, it takes more strength to cry, admit defeat.
Sex with Lily, and I'm here talking to Megan Hussey. Hello.
Hi.
And before the break, I had asked you a question to think about, which was monogamy in the world today, in society. Do you believe that we are monogamous creatures that can actually be monogamous, are, you know, married to one person, only sexually intimate with one person throughout our lives? Or do you think we fight to conform and like squeeze the triangle and the square?
Yes. Well, you know, I think that it depends on the person and on the couple, because I'm very proud to say my parents were married for 56 years before my father passed away. They had me late in life, which means that things were still hot and heavy.
Yes. You know,
and,
nice.
And I guess I'm proof of that.
Yes, you are.
Yeah. For 56 years, and I tell you, they were both just beautiful people. I mean, it's like they did some acting back in high school and college. And, you know, my dad played basketball and I think my mom did a little modeling. They were just beautiful people. But I never heard one story about either one of them being unfaithful. And, you know, I even heard, like, my dad worked in real estate, mm-hmm. and my mom said that girls in his office would come up and say, you know, there was a client of his that tried to throw herself at him, and he threw her right back. He said, I love my wife, you know.
Wow.
And so I definitely think that it's possible and it's beautiful. I just think it's important to acknowledge, like, hey, I'm not a monogamous person. I never have been. And my few attempts at relationships have just been disastrous. And so for me, it has been a matter of just saying that, you know, like they have, I think Emma Watson came up with the phrase self-partnered, that I am very much self-partnered. And, you know, and I just think it's important to be honest with yourself. If sometimes when I hear about people who can't stay faithful, I think, you
yes.
know, maybe it would have been better if they had just been honest with themselves.
Yes.
And said, I'm not monogamous. I can't do it.
You know, I would have coming out of a divorce that was ruined by infidelity. Well, more than that, but obviously infidelity was the ring dinger. But I find it interesting that people cannot just say that, like, he forgot to tell me he was a swinger. Like, why didn't you just tell me that? He wasn't really a swinger, but he was out having an affair. Like, why not just say that?
Yes.
And then you can have what you want. It's almost like they do it And they do it. They almost like the sneakiness and the secretive and the deceit that comes with it. And yeah. I wish. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, and also, you know, also a code that I have is that, and I even wrote about this for Sexpert, is that I absolutely do not mess with married men, you know, in any situation.
Yes, that's what, there's always a woman, or not a, I'm saying the wrong woman, male thing, but there's always someone that the cheater is messing with.
Yes.
And, we rarely acknowledge them.
Yeah. Yes, because to me, I believe so strongly in the girl code, and I'm very femme-centric, you know, and I also know what it's like, you know, to be cheated on, how much it hurts, how demoralizing it is.
It really is.
So I respect, you know, if somebody's in a monogamous relationship, and they're like, oh, you know, my wife doesn't understand me.
Yes.
Like, well, the poor dear and I have something in common then, you know.
Yes.
You know, and I just say, look, no, it's not happening. If you, you know, divorce her, or if you separate, you know, but not even then, really, because if he had it in his mind to cheat, he would do the same thing to me.
Absolutely.
So I respect other people's monogamous relationships, but I'm not myself. And so I think that it all depends on the person.
Yes. So you think it's possible that we're not just trying to squeeze the triangle into the square in life, in doing because something that we're not equipped to do, or like we're not capable of doing, but you believe we are capable.
Yes. I think that a lot, you know, at least some people are, and you know, I do know of people, you know, who have had long, very happy relationships.
Yes.
And I think that if they just fall so madly in love with someone, that they're all that they can see, and they're like, oh, I can't live without this person, and I can't imagine being with someone else, you know. Or if they're attracted to someone else, then they at least have the good sense to say, okay, you know, I can't do this, you know.
Yes. Now,
so, yeah.
Oh, very true. Just like, speak up, say who you are, you know.
Yeah.
And it makes for such, I believe that if we were not so focused on the monogamy part of things, that when you are cheated on or betrayed like that, it wouldn't hurt at the level that it does when you're taught and raised of how wrong it is.
Mm-hmm.
To you know, for someone to be in a relationship with someone else or to be intimate with someone else, it wouldn't have the same effect, I think, because it really damages you, like, deep, deep.
Yeah,
but I believe if we looked at it differently, then it wouldn't necessarily affect you long term the way it really does.
Yes, absolutely. And also, I know that one thing, like when the guy in the industry that I was telling you about, uh-huh. you know, that was actually, that happened when I first started working for Playgirl. And I tell you, it really impelled me forward. It empowered me. It
yes.
set a fire within me, because I thought at that moment, you know, what I was going to do, I was still going to do that. I still wanted to make waves as a, you know, sex positive feminist and everything.
Uh-huh.
But I thought I'd be taking him with me, you know, that I'd be writing scenes for him, that uh-huh. I'd be interviewing him, you know. And so when that happened, I just thought, you know, I am going to get just as much press as he does. I'm going to go farther. I'm going
yes.
to be my own powerful, sexy woman to the point where people look at him and say, you fool.
You yes. know? I get, you know, you, I don't know if you know my story, but the reason I got into the industry was revenge. It was a form of revenge for the cheating spouse. And it was like, they cheated with so many people in my life, very close people to me, that I didn't feel like screwing his dad or his brother or someone would be sufficient enough. So I said, I'm going to be a porn star. And there you go. Now, that's not my motivation now, obviously, but that was the original motivation. And it seems like what you were just saying, yeah, it empowers us. I'm woman,
absolutely.
Hear me roar. You're going to see me
yes,
and know about me.
Yeah, exactly. You know, but, you know, just to tell them, hey, you know, I mean, this is who I am. I have something to say, and you did not destroy me. As a matter of fact,
you built me up. Yes. And that's what I can always attribute to the industry, is that it was there for me, number one. It's like a family. We are all very close. We help each other. I don't believe there's very much competition. As far as we are all self-employed, there's a man that likes one kind of person. He is not going to like another. Like, it's just men's preferences. So everybody counts and everybody has an audience. And absolutely everybody, any shape, any size, any age, there is someone who finds that it turns them on. Yeah. So I really believe there's like next to no competition in that sense, everybody has an audience. You don't have to be that big blonde, big boob bombshell.
And also, you know, I know that there are some women outside the industry, you know, who I think they're a bit, you know, intimidated by porn stars. They're thinking, oh, my boyfriend loves her. And, you know, what I always tell them is, get to know them, because you will find some of the best.
Oh, yes.
you know, like, I consider you my sister friend. There are so many actresses that I consider sister friends. And just about everyone that I have talked to in my interviews, you know, I for implicit, for sexpert, I mean, I have never come across someone who was just like, oh, well, you know, I'm so much hotter than the average chick, and I'm going to steal your boyfriend. But no. It's strong. There's a lot of kinship. And
yes.
I tell them, I said, get to know these gals. They're wonderful, you know.
They really are.
So, yeah. And which is, we have to have unity anyway, or we'll never have equality, you know. So
yes, they're so helpful. They're just the stories that you hear as well. Very strong women came from, you know, some difficult places. Not everybody's from a tragic background. Just like any industry, you've got some that had rough childhoods, some that didn't. I had a great childhood. And it doesn't mean like we're twisted off in left field because of abuse or anything like that. Some of us are, some of us aren't. But when it comes down to it, very genuine people in the industry. And that I'm so grateful to be part of. And it's something that I don't necessarily need anyone to understand.
Uh-huh.
In my opinion, I don't believe that we'll ever turn society's, you know, frown upside down and make it a smile when it comes to adult content and, you know, porn. But that's what makes it valuable, in my opinion.
Yes. And also what's important to note is that, you know, slut shaming is so widespread and so extensive that even if you're not a performer, I mean, and I told the story on Coral and Jewel's show that I planned a bridal shower for a friend of mine. And I was doing marketing in a gift shop. I planned a bridal shower for a friend of mine.
Uh-huh.
And I knew that it was, it was an adult party. It was all ladies. And I didn't do anything. You know, I knew better than to hire a male stripper.
Oh, I was going to say, where you hired a stripper? No.
Yeah, I mean, if it had been a party for me, I would have wanted one. 100%.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was very respectful, and all I did was that I brought a deck of Chippendales playing cards. You know,
oh,
I mean, just the Chippendales. I mean, with their shirt, you see them on morning TV, just smiling with their shirts off. It's not even that sexual, you know. It's
and they turn their nose up. Let me guess.
Yeah.
Yes, because they were. You know why I believe? Because they were all around each other. So they are, they've been taught that you should turn your nose up to it. So one did it, and then the wind blew that way, and then they all do it.
Yes. And I was even a little bit afraid that I might end up losing my job, you know, from some of the conversation and everything.
Wow.
And I thought, you know, this is why, you know, that we have to have, I had a friend of mine who, she saw me watching like a, you know, a soap opera or something. And I said something, I made some offhand remark about, well, I'm not dating anybody right now. So sometimes it helps to watch something kind of sexy like this. And she She told me that I was a slut because I was having sexual fantasies outside of a relationship.
Oh, my. Yeah. Oh, my. We need to. Are we still doing that? This, yeah. Aren't we in 2021 or something? Well, that's like the mechanic and the, you know, in the female sort of deal. Like, are we still doing that? Yes, we are.
Yeah. Wow. Yes. And that's just, you know, so that's another thing when people talk about, you know, slut shaming the, you know, people in porn. And certainly that happens, but it's any woman who expresses herself sexually.
That is true. And I think that that's what, you know, now that you're saying it, I believe that that is what my brick wall is that I'm trying to avoid looking like a slut or trash or not being taken seriously. And I feel, and that's a shame because that's exactly, that doesn't make me, because I'm none of the above, but I don't want that image. I fight to not have that image, but yet, I mean, it's, why would that be my image? It's obviously in my own head and my own belief system.
As I was telling you before the show, you always are very classy and you have a strength about you and a dignity, and it shows through in your performances.
Thank you. And yes,
absolutely. And, you know, but it's really, well, and I know that there's a friend of mine, and he's, because also there are some men on the male side who automatically think that I'll be an easy date, so to speak, you know, because I date a doll, work in a doll. And, you know, and I had a friend of mine, and he said, how could anybody think that about you? You're so strong. And I said, well, again, it's the syndrome of if somebody is not like your mother, then she's automatically a whore, you know,
yes.
The Madonna whore syndrome. And I said, I could go on about, feminism and empowerment and treat me with respect, but because I write adult material, they automatically assume that on the first date, I'll just be all over them.
Yes. Yes. Oh, I'm so glad I don't date. But yes, that's exactly like, and I was thinking, if I do date, do you tell them right away? They'll just want to date me for that. If you don't tell them, you're lying. But why can't we just be sexually, like, why can't I just not sleep with you? Like, why?
Yes, yes.
You know?
And I tell you, I mean, right now, I'm really not dating either. You know, that's one of the reasons, because it is such a, you know, because if people know me from my other work, then they're expecting the sweet, you know, journalist, you know, and things like that. But then if they know me from that work, then they're like, oh, well, I was expecting you to be a wild woman from minute one, you know.
And yes. And I'm very conservative. So they go, oh, you're not going to do this? Or you don't do this? I'm like, no, I didn't give a blowjob until I started the industry. Like, no, I'm not very good at it yet. No.
Oh, no.
But, well, the guy says I'm pretty good on the set. But that's pretty much when I started doing stuff like that, because I saw it as a degrading, trashy, like, slut act. And I didn't want that image. But I have totally... It's really, really opened me up as a woman, as a person, my judgmentalness, like all of that has changed drastically because of this. And so I think you're doing really good work. Hopefully it makes a dent in the world, huh?
You are too. Yes.
Well,
and,
go ahead.
I just want to spread the message, you know, that women, I believe that we will not have true equality until we have sexual equality.
We
will not have sexual equality until we can seek our pleasure in the way that we want it. You know, it's like, okay, you know, if a woman, if she finds the love of her life and she only wants to be with him and she never even wants to fantasize about another man or watch porn or look at, you know, magazines or whatever, fine. You know, but if she wants to watch porn, if she wants to do porn, you know, whatever, if she wants to write adult material, then don't be ashamed. Men have been doing this for years, you know, and I just think that we need to spread that message among women. You can 100% be a strong, in control woman and still enjoy your sexuality. I think it makes you more empowered.
It really does. I see it. Yeah. It's amazing. So where can they find you?
Yes, well, you can find me. I have a feminist sexpert account on Twitter, which is Sexpert Feminist at Twitter. And also, if you look up the name Megan Hussey on Amazon, you can find my books. You can find my articles at Femplicit. And, you know, also, I have a website. The website is kind of complicated. It's HTTP colon Golden Muse, one word, dot tripod dot com.
Is it Muse, or, M-U-S-E? Is that what...
Yes, it's golden, one word, uh-huh. Golden Muse, and yes, M-U-S-E,
okay.
Dot tripod.com, and that's where you can get updates on all my new releases, and, you know, I have some coming out, and of course, as far as my erotica, you know, I am writing for, you know, SSSH.com.
Yes.
And also Blush Erotica, as you know.
Yes.
And I'm
so excited to see it. I can't wait.
Yeah, oh, I know. It's awesome.
What an honor to have you write for me. I'm thrilled.
Yes. And I'll probably be doing some work for Afterglow, you know, as well. But, you know, and also if there are any writers or anything that want, because, you know, I think we also have to support each other and help each other and send each other in the right direction,
yes,
to know the really good companies to work for.
Excellent. Well, I appreciate you coming on. I didn't get to even touch upon all the awards you've won. Just, you are the epitome. You are the feminist sexpert.
Oh,
you hold the title.
So much. You know, that's all I ever wanted to do from my very earliest years, is to empower women. And so that flatters me.
Yes.
And also, I love what you're doing too. You're bringing so much all glamour and also strength to our
thank
industry.
You.
Yes.
Thank you so much. So we're going to close out with your last song, and you picked Do You Love What You Feel by Chaka Khan. And why did you pick this one?
And I tell you, that is one of the, I mean, I love music. I love dance music. That is one of the few songs. It doesn't matter if I am covered up with work. Girl, when that song comes on, I just stand up and dance across my living room and hope that nobody is looking through the windows.
Well, thank you, son.
It's a great dance song. And also, I think that it's like a theme for the type of erotica and porn that I want to write. It's about the woman loving what she feels, loving every minute of it.
And you're listening to Lily Craven, Phone Sex with Lily, and this is Do You Love What You Feel by Chaka Khan. Thank you, Megan.
Thank you. It's been wonderful.
Love what you
thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode of Phone Sex with Lily Show and you'd like to help support the podcast, please share with others, post about it on social media, or leave a rating and review. To catch episodes you may have missed, go to Spotify, Anchor, or SkyhawkAfterDarkTV.com. Simply type in Phone Sex with Lily Show. For the latest from Lily, you can follow her on Instagram at @real_LilyCraven and on Twitter at @LilyCravenXXX or message on Facebook at @Lily.Craven40. Thanks again. Until next time.